Welcome to the Calvary Chapel South Bay Sermon Podcast. We are a large, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church in Los Angeles, California, and we'd love to have you visit us for a service if you're in the LA area. Visit ccsouthbay.org to learn more about us and to find out service times. If you have any questions, shoot us an email at hello@ccsouthbay.org. Enjoy today's sermon, and we hope to see you at church soon.
Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. Hey, we're going to be in Romans chapter 6 as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the seat back pocket there in front of you. As you're turning there, what a scene. What a scene. Now, I know Jesus said that there's a blessing for those that have not seen yet believe. But what a blessing those ladies received. Can you imagine? They walked to the tomb thinking they were going to see a dead body lying down. Instead, they saw a stone rolled away, the earth was shaking, and then they saw an angel. And the angel asked them a question: why do you seek the living amongst the dead? What confidence from heaven's perspective when the angels then said to him, he is not here, he is risen just as he said. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm just so grateful for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have given us new life. And we get to celebrate in church, in service, in this country, that you've given us new life. And I pray now that as we dig into your word, that you would speak and minister to our hearts, change our lives. In Jesus' name, the church said.
Amen.
The resurrection, this historical event, 10:30, it has caused a stir over the last 2,000 years. There are those that believe. You, the faithful, you're here at church. Amen. Okay, 10:30, where are you guys? There are those who believe. You're here at church. Amen. Now, I know some of you don't believe. I know there's some who here who your mom promised that if you came, you wouldn't have to pay rent this month. But just because you don't believe doesn't mean it's not true. I'm sorry. That doesn't make you any righter than those that believe that the world was flat. They were wrong, and so are you. Church, for those that have believed, the resurrection has literally changed our lives forever. You see, God's done us a great favor, and the favors of God are called the grace of God. And here's the great favor. None of us could make it to heaven, but God provided the way. You'll see on the screen, Romans chapter 5, take a look, verse 12. When Adam sinned, we remember the Garden of Eden, he ate the fruit. When Adam sinned, he did what God told him not to do. Sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so that death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Let me tell you something. Sin is anything that God tells you not to do and you do it, or God tells you to do and you don't do it. Adam, don't eat the fruit. And what did he do? He ate it. It's like when God says, be kind. And we're mean, like in traffic. It's like when the Lord says, be loving. And we're hateful in the parking lot. Well, God says, don't talk bad about people, and we do. Or God says, be selfless, and we are selfish. That's sin. Now, death is spread to everyone. We all die. But the death the Bible is speaking about is a death where we are separated from God because of our sin. Now, let me ask you a question. Has anyone ever been mean? Go ahead and raise your hand. I want to see. Has anyone ever been mean? Anyone ever been mean? Anyone ever been mean? Oh, you guys are the holy people. Has anyone ever been mean? Let me see your hands. I want to see your hands. Wow, there's a bunch of sinners in here. Has anyone ever been hateful? Go ahead, raise your hand. Let me see. Wow, no wonder LA's so rough. Has anyone ever been selfish? Like, this is my seat and I saved it. Oh, look at the hands that go up now. Someone came up to me after the first service. I was good until you got to the seat saving part, okay? Sin is just in us from birth. Listen, if you don't believe me, volunteer in our nursery ministry. Those little kids got some evil in them, I'm telling you. You don't have to train kids to be mean. In fact, I'll never forget when my son Timon was 4 years old, we were living in the Bahamas. And my six-year-old daughter, she was at my uncle's house and she was looking over the dock and she was looking at fish and she was feeding the fish with some bread. Well, Timon, 4 years old, he's sitting over here and he's looking at Selah bending over like this. He had a great old idea. He looked this way and he looked that way. He didn't know I was behind him. And he walked up humming, so innocent. Pushed her right in, the little devil. When she went over, her neck caught the line of the boat going from the dock to the boat. So I ran in after her. I hit her feet. She fell backwards, went into the water, picked her up, put her in the boat. I looked on that boat at Timon and I said, Timon? And he goes, woo, wasn't that fun? Trying to cover over his sin, the little demon. You don't have to teach kids to sin. It's just in us. We've all broken God's law. In Romans chapter 5, you'll see it on the screen, verse 18. Yes, Adam's one sin, it brought condemnation for everyone. But Christ's one act of righteousness, his death, burial, and resurrection, brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. You see, God's just. And if one man can bring sin to the whole world, then the one man, Jesus Christ, can make it right for everyone in the world if you choose to believe in him. This is called the favor of God. This is called God's grace. And here's the way. Jesus came and Jesus died and he took the death that we deserved. Because he was the only one that lived a sinless life. He was the only one that could offer himself as the ransom for our sins. Because, gang, there's a cost to sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Now, I know you came to church today because your mom told you you won't have to pay rent for a whole month. But let me tell you something. There is a debt you can't pay. There's a rent that's way too expensive for you. It's called death. Because we've all done something wrong. And there's a cost to sin. Let me tell you something. Let me encourage you. When you are going over the bridges, over to Long Beach, the speed limit is 45, not 88. And if you go 88, I don't know who would do that, they'll pull you over. There is a cop that sits at the bottom of that bridge about 3 to 4 times a week. When you're going downhill, your car speeds up, okay? Just what happens. And how many of you, I'm not saying I got a ticket. Maybe. See, the truth of the matter is, when you break the law, there's a price to pay. And so what God did was he put our sin on Jesus. Because Jesus lived the sinless life, he could offer himself to God. And then he took our sin and he put it on us. And that righteous act now spreads to all of us who believe. He became our substitute. He paid the price. But God, he did another favor for us. Jesus Christ didn't stay dead. Jesus Christ rose up from the grave. Look who's all getting charismatic on me now. You see, Jesus, he conquered death by the power of God. And because he conquered death, he's the only one that can offer eternal life. And in Christ, with every burial, with every death of self, there's a resurrection into new life. He rose up into new life, and so can we. Look at Romans chapter 6. I've asked you to turn there. Romans chapter 6. Would you look at verse 4? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. The Bible says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. He identified with our humanity. We get to identify with his death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. He became our substitute. But because he became our substitute in his death and burial, we also get to be a part of his resurrection when we believe. That's why Jesus in John chapter 11, he looked at the sisters of Lazarus and he said this, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Listen to the question that Jesus asks all of us. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And if you answer yes, then Romans 6:4 says you should be walking in the newness of life. Some of us struggle with that. Because in order for us to rise up into new life, you got to recognize that you've been knocked down. Maybe you've fallen or you've lied down. I'll never forget. 14 years old. First time I've ever spoken in front of anyone. I returned from a mission trip and this church had supported me. So the pastor asked if I would speak on Sunday morning. I was so nervous. So I walked up on the stage when it was my turn. We sang hymn number 365. The next thing I know, I'm behind the pulpit. And I look out at over 400 people at 14 years old. And I said good. And I was trying to say good morning. But the next thing I heard from the crowd was, he's going down. And at 14 years old, I fell down and passed out in front of the entire church. Now, I don't know if you know this. When you pass out, your body completely relaxes. Yeah. 14 years old, I peed my pants in front of everybody. Some of you are going, I can't believe you just said that in front of everybody on Easter. I did. I peed my pants in front of anyone. And that day, after they picked me up, the pastor looked at me and he goes, hey, we have a Sunday night service. You're going to speak. And I said, no, I am not. I just peed my pants in front of all those people. I am not getting up. And he goes, you're going to speak. And you're coming to the Sunday night service. And you're going to tell them what you're going to tell them Sunday morning. And though I didn't like what he asked me to do, look at me today. I've got new life. Because someone picked me up off the ground. Church, the disciples fell down. In fact, we've all fallen down. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the disciples, let them be our example. There in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, they felt the pressure of the world around them. And when they came for Jesus, they all forsook Jesus and fled. Peter, who told Jesus that he would lay his life down for him, even he ran away and then denied him 3 times. But Jesus knew they'd fall down. In Luke chapter 22, there in the garden, before any of this happened, Jesus looked at Peter and he said to him, Simon, Simon, and maybe you put your own name there, Chet, Chet. Indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you've returned to me, when you repent, when you come back, strengthen your brethren. Do the work that I've called you to do. Church, do you hear the truth of Jesus' heart? Satan has asked to sift all of you. Put your name where Simon's name is. Let me say, Chet, Chet. But do you hear the heart of Jesus for those who have fallen down? He says to Simon Peter, I'm praying for you that after you've fallen, that you'll return to me and I'll pick you up off the ground and you'll go back and do what I've called you to do. That's what Jesus does. He's not mad at you because you fell down. He's grieved. He wants you to return. And the way that we return is through repentance. He died because he knew that you would fall short of the glory of God. And now he's praying for you. Your name is on his lips that you would rise up into new life through repentance and returning to him. But sometimes we get knocked down. Sometimes we get knocked down. In order to rise up, you got to realize that maybe you've been knocked down, because that's what sin does. Sin's like a sucker punch. I'll never forget, and I can't believe I'm going to tell you this story, but this was your pastor. Sixth grade. I'm walking home from middle school, and out of the bush comes Steve. And I'm not going to tell you his last name, and if he's listening, God bless you, I've recovered. Out of the bush comes Steve, and he winds back like this and clocks me. I pass right out. I get knocked out. I wake up to him and his bully friends kicking me and punching me. I stand up and I go to hit him. He knocked me out again. And I'm down on the ground and I stand up. And I ran as fast as I could away from Steve and his bully friends. I've got some intelligence, okay? The next Friday, I'm walking back that same bush, and Steve popped out again, but I got new life. So when I saw Steve this time, I ran as fast as I could. I would love to tell you that I whooped his butt, but I didn't. I ran as fast as I could, because I learned a lesson. When they're bigger than you, run! Don't fight! I wish Judas would have done that. Judas got knocked down. Judas got sucker punched by money, and he should have run, but he didn't. He thought he was bigger. He thought he was better. I mean, he knew Jesus. He was Jesus's buddy. He knew his word. He followed Jesus. He heard what Jesus taught. But Judas wanted money more than Jesus. Now, it didn't start with the 30 pieces of silver that he sold. That's like a year's worth of salary. He didn't just take that much money at the very beginning. No, he was stealing a mite. He was stealing a denarius. He was stealing just a talent. He was just stealing little by little by little. But that's the problem. You see, it started by taking a little, and then it grew from there, where he sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. That's the problem with sin. It always starts small, and then it grows. Sin is like a pit bull puppy. You can hold them when they're 6 to 12 weeks old, but when they're an adult male and you come into their territory, you better watch out. That's what sin's like. Sin just grows. And before you know it, you're around the corner and you get the wind knocked out of you because you think you're able to fight it. How many of us get sucker punched like this? We get knocked down because of the sin in our lives. We think something other than Christ, just like Judas, can fill the void we feel in our lives. Judas thought that money could buy him his ticket. He thought his finances, if his bank account just looked a certain way. But maybe you're trying to fill the void with a relationship. And you've gone from relationship to relationship to relationship, only to realize she keeps breaking up with you. Let all the single men say, amen. None of the single men want to admit that. All of the ladies, single ladies, say, amen. Okay. The men are too prideful. But how many of us are trying to fill that void with something other than Jesus? And maybe for you, it's not a relationship or money. Maybe it's fashion. Or maybe it's TikTok fame. If I could just get 5,000 likes. Yet we're just as lonely, just as broken, and we're still wanting more. Then all of a sudden, the thing that you thought would bring satisfaction, it meets you around the corner and just sucker punches you right down on the ground, because Christ is the only one that can fill that void. But church, when it sucker punches you down, Jesus is still reaching his hand for you. Let me explain. Judas had sold Jesus out, and Jesus knew it. And I have sat in the Middle East at many dinners, and there is something called the morsel. Let me explain what it is. It's the last piece of meat in the bowl. And what the host of the entire dinner will do is take the bread from that from the bowl, will dip into the other bowl, grab the piece of meat, dip some juice in it, and then give it to the honored guest. It's called the morsel. And in that, Jesus dipped into that bowl and grabbed the morsel and gave it to Judas, pleading with him, even confronting his sin. He was trying to reach Judas, but Judas refused. Jesus loved Judas. But Judas wanted money. He didn't want Jesus. He didn't have time for Jesus. He wanted those 30 pieces of silver. But I want to tell you a different story of a different disciple. He also was knocked down. He saw Jesus walking on water, and Peter said, "Listen, Jesus, if that's you, call me out to you. I'll come." And when Peter was walking on the water, all of a sudden a wave hit him on his face and knocked him down. And he stopped looking at Jesus, and he was looking at his life circumstance. He was looking at his problems. He was looking at his experience. And he began to sink. And when he called out Jesus' name, Jesus looked at him and said, "You deserve to drown, you loser." Now, for those of you who don't come to church, that's not what happened. As soon as Peter called out Jesus, the Bible uses a word, immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. And the two of them walked on water back to the boat. Peter went from being knocked down to walking in the newness of life. Hey, gang, Jesus is reaching out his hand to you that have been knocked down by sin. Are you going to be Judas and reject the hand of Jesus? Listen, you're not strong enough, obviously, to deal with the sin. That's why it's knocked you down. Or are you going to be Peter? Are you going to grab the hand of Jesus and realize that he's the only way that can pull you up out of that muck and mire and take you into the newness of life? But in order to rise up, you may have to admit that you like lying down. Sometimes we like to lie down. I need to let you know something about my 53 years. I'm giving a lot of stories about my life. Please forgive me, but here we go. I've never had a new mattress. I've always had a hand-me-down. Always had a hand-me-down. Someone was getting rid of them. We got the mattress. We're the poor people. That's it. Let me tell you, pastor raising 9 children, not the greatest of salaries, okay? So we would take whatever came our way, okay? Let me tell you something. My poor child, Timon, I don't think he's ever had a new piece of clothes. He just got his brother's clothes, and we kept them for years, and he just wears them. I think we bought him new shoes. Now, here's the deal. When I sold my house and I moved to L.A., I told Andrea, "It's time to be a big boy. I'm buying a mattress." 53 years, I have been waiting to buy my own mattress. And I knew which mattress I wanted. I had looked for years. I had saved my money. I'm buying a Dream Cloud. Whoa! I want to be sleeping in the clouds. They delivered it. I opened it up. I was so excited. And you know how they shrink wrap it now? So it's in a box, and we carried it up. It took three of us to carry this box up. And I opened it up, and I began to cut it open. And I looked at my brand new mattress, and someone rolled a forklift right over it. I was devastated. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I saved for 53 years to buy this mattress. So I called the company, and I read the internet, and it said, if I'm not completely satisfied, well, I'm not completely satisfied. They said to me, Mr. Lowe, it doesn't work like that. We're going to have to explore this case. I go, it better work like that, because that's what it says on your mattress, and I've waited 53 years to buy it. They sent me a new mattress. Listen, they sent me a new mattress, and they said, Mr. Lowe, we reviewed your case. You're going to have to dispose of that other mattress by yourself, and we're sending you a new mattress. Guess what? I got a twofer. So you know what I did? And I wrestled with this decision because my daughter's only 26 years old. She should wait till she's 53 to get a new mattress. I prayed over it. I fasted. And I called her and I said, listen, I'm going to give you my new mattress. They were so excited. They're just married. Can't believe they're getting this new mattress. I got off the phone. And I was like, I had to wait 53 years for mine. But let me tell you about my mattress. I love it. I love it. I love lying down in it. I love having cover. We got like a down. I think it's a fake down cover over us. I love when my dog jumps in it. I love when my wife is in the bed with me. Oh, one morning I woke up, it was last Easter, I woke up with all three of my daughters and my wife in the bed. We don't invite them anymore. I'm telling you, they all love my bed. We all love to sit in it. We all love to, and sometimes it's difficult to get out of it. Sometimes it takes a conscious effort to get out of that comfortable way of life. Truth is, sometimes we actually love our sin. Sometimes we just love it. Sometimes, I mean, when someone cuts us off on the 405, it just feels good to go, honk! Yeah, that felt good. Whoa, we just love it. Sometimes when someone takes our parking space at Calvary Chapel South Bay, we give them the stare as we just drive by. It's a Christian stare. You can have it. God bless you. Conviction. Church, even the Bible knows it's hard. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, the passing pleasures of sin. God knows that sin is pleasurable. The problem is, it's a passing pleasure, and it leads very quickly to destruction. It feels good for a moment, but it can create a lifetime of heartache. But God knows, because sin is pleasurable, it can be difficult to get up out of that bed. That's why the Bible says in Romans 6:4 that Christ was raised by the glory of God. This is another way of saying that he was raised by the power of God. You see, there's something that you need to understand. When Jesus sent the disciples to Jerusalem, he told them to wait for the power from on high. The power from on high was the Spirit of God that came upon them. And even though the penalty of sin is no longer on us, do you remember when Jesus looked at the disciples and he says, you're clean, I just need to wash your feet because sometimes you'll get dirty? Sin's not on us, but sin's in us. We still live in this flesh. Sometimes we like to lie down in it, and it's difficult for us to get out of it. It's difficult to pull out of that relationship or that lifestyle. And so what he does is he sends his Holy Spirit with an alarm. Nyeh, nyeh, time to get up. Time to get up. That's what the Spirit does. The Spirit sends the alarm. And how many of you, when you're doing something wrong, you know it's wrong? Go ahead, raise your hand. You know it's wrong. How many of you, when you're doing something that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you do it anyway, and you feel a little bad? Go ahead, raise your hand. That's the Spirit. Now, I know on our iPhones, they have all kinds of sounds to wake you up. Like, there's one on my phone. It's like a guitar. That ain't gonna wake me up. I got one that's like birds. Tweet, 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 tweet. That ain't gonna wake me up. You know what's on my phone? Because I love my bed. Some of us love our sin, and the Holy Spirit is trying to wake you up. But the beauty about the Spirit, the same way that Jesus was raised by the power of God, God can raise you from that sinful place and bring you to the newness of life. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by his power. He can get you out of that bed. Now you might be going, wait a second, I like my bed. It's a dream cloud. You don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. It's like a person that's working at 85 degrees. You ever been there? If you haven't, you should. All right, let me make it. It's like a person that's working. Oh, my goodness. Where is it? Oh, I thought someone stole it. It's like a person that works at Krispy Kreme. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, look, I've already eaten one. I love Krispy Kreme. Let me tell you something. If I worked at Krispy Kreme, I'd be 500 pounds. No, I would. When they come off the conveyor belt, sometimes when the light is on, I just stop because it brings me so much joy. And I just see them coming off the conveyor belt. And I'm like looking through the glass. Can I have that one? That one. They're too hot. No, I can do it. Let me have that one. But you know, the person that's working at Krispy Kreme, they're making minimum wage. They're trying to make it from paycheck to paycheck. And then all of a sudden, they get a letter in the mail. They open up the letter, and inside that letter it says, you are the heir of a great fortune and can have a new life. Call 1-800 whatever the number is. What do you do with that letter? I don't want that. Are you kidding me? Me? I'm dialing 1-800. I took my phone out already. And I am calling 1-800 whatever the number was. And I'm getting my new life. I'm getting my inheritance. I'm no longer working paycheck to paycheck. I own Krispy Kreme. I'm buying as many donuts as I want because I have been given a new life. Who's going to look at that letter and go, I don't want it? Church, ask Christian. Because when you refuse the good news of the gospel, you're giving up a fortune. Ask Christian. He was literally raised to walk in the newness of life. He don't want to go back to the hospital. Who would? Who wants to be knocked down and fallen down and lying down in a hospital? Why would you want the old life? Strapped to a bed of wrong decisions and loneliness? Forced to be connected to a drug of materialism, technology, lust, fashion, TikTok? Or you can't wait for the next series of Netflix? That's what life's about? Just becoming more and more dependent on stuff, actually driving yourself into a misery of emotional, relational, and financial debt. Jesus says, I got new life for you, but here's what it entails. In John chapter 12, Jesus says something so profound. In John chapter 12, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. You see, gang, when he was saying this, he was saying that the seed is you and I. And when we're willing to go into the ground and be covered, like the dirt, it was a symbol, it was a sign. When we're willing to be covered by Jesus, his death becomes our death. Now we're hidden in Christ. And if we're willing to allow ourselves to be hidden by him, then he's going to rise us up to walk in the newness of life. It's 2 Corinthians. Would you turn there with me as we close? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read there from verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. In other words, our life's not our own. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we've known Christ according to the flesh. So even though we knew him before the resurrection, yet now we know him thus no longer. He's walking in newness of life. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. How many of you want to go back to the Yellow Pages? You need a phone number and you want to go back to find that number in the Yellow Pages. How many of you want this, or how many of you will just pick up your phone and Google whatever you want? Why would you ever go back to holding Yellow Pages in your house? Now, some of the young people are like, what's a Yellow Page? Well, for those of you who don't know, this is how we used to get our numbers, okay? Now all I have to do is Google. In fact, I don't even have an Encyclopedia Britannica anymore because I got one in my back pocket. Can you imagine if I was carrying all those books around all the time? Who wants to go back to the old life? It's like saying I want a black and white TV instead of a class 4 smart TV. Let me tell you what a new life is. It's a new way of thinking because we get the mind of Christ. We're a new creation. We get God's DNA. I'm not alone anymore. I don't have to think I'm alone. Christ is with me all the time. I'm not a loser. Christ loves me so much he died for me. I used to think I was a victim of my circumstances. But now, I know that nothing happens to me except through the loving hand of God. I'm victorious because of Christ. Yes, I got a new way of thinking. But there's a new way of living. Maybe you used to go to the bar, get drunk, wake up and have a hangover. Now, you go to church, have fellowship, no headaches at all, and you actually feel fulfilled and satisfied. Maybe you had a potty mouth. And now, when you hear potty words, you can't believe that people talk like that. It's a new way of living. I don't have to worry anymore. God's got my future. I have a peace that passes understanding. I'm not sad or frustrated. I've got an inexpressible joy even when things don't go my way. God's got it. I used to feel so empty, but now I'm so fulfilled. It's a new way of living. The Bible even says we get a new nature. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says, put on your new nature. It's been given to you, created to be like God. When I'm driving now in traffic and someone drives by and waves that special little one finger to me, I used to want to wave it back. That was my old nature. But now, all five fingers. God bless you. Praying for you, brother. I used to want to curse, but now I want to bless. Listen, I don't have to live selfishly and alone anymore. I can live selfless in a community. The Bible says that we've been given a new spirit. It's Ezekiel chapter 36. I will put a new spirit in you. Listen to what that means. Goodbye, grumpy you. Hello to nice to be around. Now, you might say, I like to be grumpy. That's like saying you like fried liver because you've never tried filet mignon. Because the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Now, let me remind you. Oh, Jesus' disciples. I see this all the time. James and John. Do you remember they were going through the Samaritan village? James and John were going through the Samaritan village, and this is what they told Jesus. These Samaritans, could you just bring down fire from heaven and burn them all up? And Jesus is like, oh my goodness, like we got a lot of work. And he goes, you don't know what spirit you're of. I don't burn people to death. I'm trying to seek and save the lost. And it was 3 years later that the Apostle John, who wanted to burn up the Samaritans, would be in that same Samaritan village watching a revival happen and bringing people to Christ. He learned his new nature. You see, people who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, they never want to eat fried liver again. They enjoy the Lord. They enjoy the filet mignon. Why go back to the old life? They can't believe they used to live like that. Church, do you know what New Life is? It's a community that embraces and loves you called the Church of the Living God here at Calvary Chapel South Bay. Let me tell you what this new life is. It's a life free from addictions. Let me tell you what this new life is. Forgiven from the past, fulfilled in the present, and looking forward for a life to come. You don't have to be the person that you are. Jesus is reaching out his hand to you, and he says, I got new life. You want to walk back in the boat with me, even though you've been knocked down? Would you pray with me? Our Father, I come before you now in Jesus' name. And I'm asking that your Spirit would move in this place. And that your Spirit would reach out the hand of Jesus to give new life. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you were encouraged by today's message. If you have any questions or just want to check us out, make sure to visit us at ccsouthbay.org. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.